The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
Okay, Kathy, we get it. You don't like the guy. I think we kind of knew it before you beheaded him. You don't really like the president. Gotcha. Okay. Hollywood media types, you don't like him. We already knew that. You didn't have to behead him in effigy. We knew that. Wow. Kathy Griffith felt the need to behead Donald Trump in a picture, showing the whole bloody head in her hand as part of what? Art? Humor? This is what you're going for? Hi there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck. I'm from the Morning Blaze, theblaze.com/radio. Heard every morning's 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. Also joined by other members of the Morning Blaze, Chris Cruz and Brad Staggs. So Kathy Griffith, as part of, I guess, an attempt at comedy, got together with an artist, and picture me making the little air quotes with my hands, and took a picture of her carrying around what looked like the bloody head of Donald Trump.
Have we confirmed that is Donald Trump?
The hair would. Yeah. You're right. Maybe that's even better plausible deniability.
Unfortunately, she already admitted it.
Oh, admitted it was or whatever. It shows this. Now, I'm not offended by it. Some people are power. Is it inappropriate? I mean, it could be illegal, seen as a threat against the president. Inappropriate is always in the eye of the beholder. Right? I mean, some people think some much tamer stuff is inappropriate. So I don't get personally offended by stuff like this. I didn't see the picture and was disturbed. Inappropriate, maybe, for some audiences, sure. I'm more bothered by the fact, mildly annoyed, that it's not funny.
Yeah.
Not
you get angry.
Close.
She's not funny. How was this?
Was this an
attempt at, like, a social commentary with the artist?
I think that it was part of a bigger project that they were going to come out with, and they prematurely tweeted this picture. So
it wasn't prematurely tweeted. It was leaked to TMC.
Okay, then so TMC explain put how this was. They were working on this project, right?
They were working on a project with Tyler Shields, I think it is.
Okay.
And somebody leaked the picture of her holding the head to TMZ.
So if it's the punchline, boy, I'd hate to hear the joke.
Right, exactly. And so they're filming the whole thing, and as part of it, TMZ gets a picture, a still shot of her holding. Do we know what the bigger project was?
No, we don't know. It. We don't know what the bigger project is.
So they leaked just the picture. Mm-hmm. All right, whoops. And the picture sees her standing out there holding what looks like the head of Donald Trump, having been beheaded, you know, cut off. And people found this really disturbing.
Not only disturbing, they reported it to the Secret Service.
As they should.
As they should.
Remember when Glenn said, what was it? He wasn't even talking about the president. He was talking about...
Are you sure?
Yeah, you're right. They said far less than God.
And the Secret Service showed up here at the studio.
Listen, I have a story of the Secret Service visiting me when I was working in Richmond, Virginia. I'll tell you that tale a little bit as well. But the Kathy thing, I'd have a couple questions for you. First of all, if you're bothered by this, if you're somebody that loves President Trump and you're very bothered by this and how dare somebody do this, would you, and I'm challenging you here, have been this bothered if somebody had done that to Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or somebody else? Or would you be doing the 180 flip that I see right now from everybody where you're like, well, you know, it's Obama, get over it. It's no big, just the exact things that some people on the left are saying right now. Because that's what I've seen more since Trump has been elected than anything, is the people that used to be offended now say, oh, it's all fine.
Right.
Because they were in it for Obama. And the people that before were saying it's fine are now so offended because they're in it for Trump.
It's not funny no matter who it is, really. I mean, it's just
tasteless. Are you bothered by it or you just don't find it funny?
I just don't find it funny. It doesn't disturb me. It's just
I think this is
funny.
When you need to quit being on TV or a comedian, when Keith Olbermann says you crossed the line. Because Keith Olbermann came out and said, whoa, this is way too much.
Against Trump.
Against Trump, when the picture, I was like, whoa.
Keith Olbermann is the voice of reason?
Exactly.
Wow.
So that should tell you, you need to quit whatever the little project you were doing and go back to the drawing board. Because if Keith Olbermann saying you're doing it wrong,
Well, and during this little project, she even said, when she's, again, they're filming this before the picture was released, she's heard on camera joking around with Tyler, the artist. Again, picture, air making quotes, the little air quotes. Yeah. She said, Tyler and I are not afraid to make images that make noise, meaning this is sensational. It's over the top.
Ta-da!
Okay, yeah. you did it, Kathy. Congratulations. You made some noise today. But then doesn't that negate or water down her apology? She knew she was heading in that vein. She knows she's sensational.
Well, then here's the thing with the apology, because she apologized a couple hours later.
So she tweeted two apologies, and then she did a video apology.
No, she tweeted the reason why she did it.
Right, but there were two tweets,
yeah,
and then
was
a video.
Two tweets. Yeah. But then she also said during the video, during the BTS footage that they got, they said, I and Tyler, this is Kathy, I and Tyler... we'll need to move to Mexico once the pictures get released for fear they'll be thrown in prison.
Okay, so they knew how edgy it was. That automatically, any apology, because this is what we see now. People do stuff and then they go, oh, I'm so sorry. How many of those people really do feel bad and realize they made a mistake? I mean, the only thing missing here is Kathy saying she's going to go into rehab. Because that's the other thing they do.
She's going to the farm.
Right, anything you do anything wrong now, you go into rehab. Even if it had nothing to do with drugs or whatever, it's like I shot a guy. I was wrong. I'm going to go into rehab. Oh, you were drunk when you did it?
No.
I just
going to
rehab. That's what rich people do, you know? So I think we have her apology. Well, first of all, let me share with you some of her text apology, and then we'll get to her actual video apology she did later. She realizes this is a problem, but I just don't know how sincere. She said, there was blood. This was the original tweet with the picture. She said there was blood coming out of his eyes, blood coming out of his whatever.
Reference as part to of his, yeah.
Donald Trump's thing, right. Yeah. Then she put, obviously, I do not condone any violence by my fans or others to anyone ever. I'm merely mocking the mocker in chief. So that was her first apology, just mocking. It didn't go away, so she puts out the little video apology. All right, here we go. Here's the video apology.
So tell me what you want to talk about.
I sincerely apologize. I am just now seeing the reaction of these images. I'm a comic. I cross the line. I move the line. Then I cross it. I went way too far. The image is too disturbing. I understand how it offends people. It wasn't funny. I get it. I've made a lot of mistakes in my career. I will continue. I asked your forgiveness, taking down the image, going to ask the photographer to take down the image, and I beg for your forgiveness. I went too far. I made a mistake, and I was wrong.
Okay, sincere, first of all.
No. I don't know. I hear sincerity coming from her.
But I think it's sincerely worried about her career.
Yes.
I think it's
fear of, oh, crud, I got to get out in front of this thing. Yeah. And take care of it because it's going to be bad. Because she has some cushy gigs, like the New Year's Eve gig with CNN.
Which also isn't funny.
Which also is not funny. That's my bigger problem. CNN is like, well, we're evaluating this to see if they're going to keep her around, basically, because people are calling for her to be fired. CNN, if you haven't fired her for not being funny for the last 10 years...
This is not a reason to...
Right, this is not a reason to fire her.
No.
Number two, stop calling for people to be fired. You don't like it, don't watch CNN.
Right.
All you people that are calling for her to be fired on CNN, were you going to watch anyway?
Exactly. Yeah,
hanging out with Kathy and Anderson Cooper on New Year's Eve? Come on, you weren't watching anyways.
By the way, who created that duo? Because that's a bad duo.
That's not good. It's really, really bad. They think they're funny. They're not funny. So stop calling for it. If you're bothered by it, don't buy the products. Don't watch CNN. That's your right. If CNN wants to keep her or don't, that's their right as a business. I'm consistent about that. I just don't know what good this progressive Kathy Griffith thinks this is going to do. What good are you going to do? These are liberals that constantly tell you we got to progress all the time to better society instead of talking about consistent values. What good were you doing with this? At best, I can give you, you thought it was art and a social statement. Right? A cultural or social statement you were going to make with the art. What was that statement? And what good did you think was going to come out of the art? It was, don't give me, it was going to start a conversation. We need a conversation. That's all we have is conversations. We need people to stop conversating about this stuff. If you really want to do good, then sit down and talk to people. Not the, we need to start a conversation. That's just speechifying is what you mean.
She overestimated the support she was expecting to get from the anti-Trumpers.
I'm challenging you then. If you thought you were going to get support or whatever, then you're being a hypocrite about trying to do good in the world, right? I mean, you were not going to do good. You were just playing to your audience, and maybe that's her shtick. That's fine. But that means every other liberal and progressive out there needs to stand up and say, Kathy, you did wrong, and just because we share some ideas about progressivism, we think socialism is good or whatever the heck it is, this is not good.
There may have been a time.
And by the not good, I don't mean that she did this. I mean the good that you are not trying to do good with the forums and formats you have.
Yeah.
Right, the power you have.
Maybe 10, 15 years ago, prior to ISIS actually cutting the heads off of people and displaying them, this had a shot at being, I don't know, more entertaining? Maybe. Magicians have done the whole cutting the head off thing for a long time.
You
can't even do that in a magic
act.
Right, it's a different world. We've seen the real images of real people with their heads cut off.
I think this also shows the disconnection between Hollywood and the audience that they have. Because I bet you she was in the drawing board with Tyler saying, you know what, this is going to be funny.
We're going to cut his head off.
Our people are going to love it because they don't love Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she saw the reaction, she was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the whole ISIS thing. We do have a war on terror, whatever that is. And ISIS is cutting people's head off. So I think that right there, it kind of, she thought she was playing into her audience when she completely missed the mark. And you talked about this yesterday. There's a fine line when it comes to satire and comedy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We talked about it when it came to the Stephen Miller doing satire on the Wonder Woman thing about the Wonder Woman women-only screenings for it coming up this weekend. And yes, satire is difficult. As Brad said yesterday, death is easy, comedy is hard. Mm-hmm. Satire, you either fall short and it's not funny, womp, 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 right?
Yep.
Or you overshoot your mark and there you are having the whole world seeing you standing what looks like the president's severed head.
Yep.
Covered in blood.
So is that the standard now?
Either That's
it. Is that what the
That's when you definitely know you've crossed
you
the line.
Cross
you've
the
overshot
line.
Your
when
satire.
When people say, you've done the Kathy Griffin.
You Kathy Griffin, your satire didn't land real well. You missed your mark.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get some calls coming up. 888-727-BECK. That's 888-727-BECK if you want to join the program. You can also tweet at the show. We got a whole bunch of tweets, including Define Covfefe.
What?
Covfefe. Define Covfefe. We'll explain that coming up as well. But if you want to check it out right now, look for the hashtag. And if you would, follow me at Doc Thompson Show, The Real Chris Cruz, or at The Blaze Brad. Coming back in a minute on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
We'll get some of your calls coming up. We're discussing Kathy Griffin, who decided to take part in a project where she ended up with a picture, at least, and possibly a video of her holding what looked like the severed head of Donald Trump. This was with an artist, Tyler Shields.
I believe, don't call him the last name, but I think it's Tyler Shields.
Yeah, Tyler Shields it is. By the way, there's likely an opening in his company right now for whoever leaked the picture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's not going to be good for him. And Tyler may be looking for work, too, with this. And Kathy as well. There's some people out of work really soon. Regardless, if you don't like their work, don't buy it. Don't whatever. Move on. I tell people to vote with their dollars, but that's basically you. I'm not trying to, get people fired or whatever. A lot of leftists have come out and said this is wrong. Not just Keith Olbermann. Deborah Messing did. And Deborah Messing has been on Trump like crazy.
Yeah, you guys remember her famous virtual march.
That's right. She did the virtual selfie march where she took a picture of herself, a little selfie, and said, I'm standing with the marchers, even though she was just sitting in her car. It was a virtual march. That's how crazy Deborah Messing is. And she's like, I think you went too far, Kathy. This is over the edge now. But this was not a threat. For all the people that are saying the Secret Service has to be involved and contacted Secret Service, is there anybody, honestly, do you really think this is a threat?
Probably not, but the Secret Service is already on. They've already tweeted out that they are going to, they've had to open up an investigation right. because they look at all threats.
Right, and that's fine. But this is what the Secret Service tweeted out after this. They put, and they didn't specifically mention Kathy Griffin or this picture, didn't link. It's just a bunch of people were going, hey, Secret Service, mm-hmm. hey, Secret Service. So they tweeted out, on it. Mm-hmm. On it? On what? You can't even keep people out of the White House.
Whoa, that's true.
How many people have busted into the White House with multiple administrations? They scale the fence. They open the front door. The Salahis attended a state dinner, for Pete's sake. They got Secret Service agents picking up whores and doing blow down in South America. And this is not just one case. Case after case after case of failures at the Secret Service, and you're on it? Well, I'm glad you're on a piece of art that was a bad joke. How about getting on the Secret Service agents to make sure that people aren't breaking into the White House?
There's that, yeah.
We think we could take care of this one. It's a picture.
Is that what it is?
I think so. That we could take care of it or whatever. The Secret Service, like most government agencies, has been a colossal failure. This is not a threat, folks. It's not. And by the way, I don't know why it's illegal, maybe inappropriate, but illegal to offer some sort of threat to the president anyways. I mean, if you're doing humor, satire, whatever, it certainly shouldn't be, even if it's not funny and even if it's inappropriate.
What did they say here? Threats made against Secret Service protectees receive the highest priority of all of our investigations. Hashtag protection never rests.
So you were on duty when the people broke. You weren't resting? Wow.
We weren't asleep. We were observing.
That is a colossal failure.
I love the hashtag. That's a good hashtag.
Which one?
Protection never rests.
Protection. Oh, protection never rests. Okay, yeah. Secret Service, they said, on it. Secret Service has a robust protective intelligence division that monitors open source reporting and social media to evaluate threats. So, let me clarify. Clarify this second. They have a division that monitors open source reporting and social media to evaluate threats. Meaning, while the guys were doing hookers and blow in South America, while people, multiple people, scaling fences, running into the White House and all around the grounds, there were people going, hey, Hal, I got a tweet here. Guy calls the president an a-hole. You think this could be a threat? I don't know. Hang on. Janet, come over here and look at this. He used 3 exclamation marks. I don't.
Well, that's more than 2.
This could be. It is more than 2.
More than 2.
But is it?
Maybe we should screen grab this. And meanwhile, the guy's like, hello, you home? Obama, you here, Barry?
He just opens the door.
He's open, yeah.
No, he's not even knocked.
He didn't knock,
he's
that's
like,
right.
This is the people's house. Let me get in there.
I'm going to go make myself a sandwich or something. You're monitoring all, this is a fail. If this is your concern, meanwhile, people are on the White House grounds, you're doing it wrong. Yeah.
Well, not just that, you forgot about the mystery shot at the White House.
Oh, remember that's that? Right.
Somebody
that's,
shot at the White House.
Okay, yeah.
And it was only found because they were doing a sweep, and they're like, ho-ho, what's this?
It's like a bullet hole.
Hey, Bob, right. It's a hole right here. What's that here?
No, yeah, exactly. How long has this been here?
Being here?
Yes, that's
time.
The historic gunshot of
George Washington
of 1915. Woodrow Wilson was president then. It was a different time. We just left it there for novelty's sake. Yeah, a little sign pointing to it tells the story on the
More
wall.
More about it on the tour.
Right, yeah, they did. They found a bullet hole in one of the windows. Nobody ever knew.
Hopefully it's bulletproof glass.
Now I think they've actually replaced it and done some of that. They had to go through and retrofit
you know,
the stuff.
We should make that bulletproof glass.
Nah. No, we've never had a problem with it.
Yeah.
What's that hole? Oh, apparently we've had a problem with it. Colossal failure. Yes, like Glenn Beck, I too have been visited by the Secret Service. This was early on in, actually late on in the...
Obama?
No.
What?
George W. Bush administration.
Wow.
Yeah, thank God it wasn't Obama. Yeah, I'll tell that story coming up. We'll also finally get some of your calls. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. Doc Thompson from the Morning Blaze in for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, that's Doc Thompson from the Morning Blaze. You want to find out more about me? Go to theblaze.com/doc. Filling in for Glenn today and the rest of the week, along with some other crew members from the Morning Blaze, Chris Cruz and Brad Staggs. Get to those calls now. 888-727-VEC. Line 81, Gail in Florida. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. How are you?
Fine, thank you, and good morning.
Were you offended by Kathy Griffith's little picture with Donald Trump's severed head?
Yes, extremely, because all that went through my head at the time was watching that man on the ground with the black hood over his face. And
you're talking
the terrorist
some of the,
behind him had beheading him.
Oh, so you're talking some of the ISIS videos, you
Daniel
mean?
Daniel Pearl.
Yep, and you could clearly, you could see her face, and you knew that she was happy about it. And wasn't she one of the people that was really angry about the Charlie Hebdo cartoon? I believe
she was.
I don't
know if Kathy was or not. She's usually not too big of a whiner on stuff like that, but she is always over the edge. You know what? I'll check that out, Gail. Maybe she was, and of course, then there's a certain hypocrisy there if she was, right?
Yep, and her apology was not an apology. It was a mockery. You watched as she said, as she was speaking her apology, she rolled her eyes at the right time. She had, you know, the tone of her voice changed. Mm-hmm. It was just mockery. It meant nothing.
What we'll do, and Gail, thank you so much for your call and support. I really appreciate it. What I'll do is I'll tweet out a link to the video so you can watch it yourself. It's at Doc Thompson Show, and I'll post it on my Facebook. It's facebook.com/Doc Thompson Show. Back to Florida we go, and John, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Hey there.
Yes, so I'm in the car right now with my twins, so we may be interrupted because they're 2 years old. But I want to say her apology, hollow beyond hollow, in that, and she says it herself right off the top. I just saw the reaction, so I'm so sorry. So she's apologizing for the reaction. She's not apologizing for her actions. And I think what these liberal Hollywood types and many in the media should do, you remember that picture of the election in 2017 and how it went down by county, how pretty much everywhere in the country was red? Mm-hmm. They should carry that with them to remind them not everyone thinks as stupid as I did.
That's a great point. John, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I wasn't as bothered by the picture of Donald Trump's head in that picture
as I
was Kathy Griffin's head.
Oh, so that's the head that bothered you.
That's the one they need to be blurring that one out, not the Donald Trump one in there. That's not real. What has happened? She never looked good.
There are a few pictures out there. I think she did.
When she was in Seinfeld, I think
hold on a second.
I'm not saying. I just think.
There was a point where you would have been like, all right,
yeah.
Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, not for her money.
No.
Not for her fame.
She has money?
I think she probably does, yeah.
Then she's hot.
Okay, there it is. All right. Dave in Michigan, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Hey there.
Greetings, calling you from God's country, Upper Michigan.
Oh, you in the Upper Peninsula or just the top there?
Oh, I'm in the Oop.
Oh, you're in the Oop. All right.
Okay, the TMZ video, there's a TMZ video that came out of the making of the artwork. They showed on Fox this morning that they're kind of mocking it and talking about how they're going to get in so much trouble as they're doing the artwork. And then, of course, the video of the apology, if you look at the body language, it's just like she's like, oh, my God, I got to apologize for this. Okay, I'm so sorry, I'm offended.
So,
or this could be an alternate theory that she's doing this to take the talk off of Russia.
Oh, I don't know how that helps. Well, maybe, I guess, because I don't think she wants to help Trump that way. But when they played the video of the process, because we heard those clips too, they didn't say what the project was, did they?
No, they were just talking about, you know, they're going to get in so much trouble over this.
Okay. Yeah, that seems crazy. All right. Thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
There were three channels that I saw this morning, their coverage of it, early this morning, like 4 a.m. early. Mm-hmm. Fox, MSNBC, and CNN. And I don't think you heard this. Mm-hmm. One of those three, and I want you to figure out which was which. One of these three didn't show it at all. They said this is way too edgy to show the picture of Kathy Griffin with Donald Trump's severed head.
Right.
One of them, they're like, here you go, look at the whole damn thing. And one of them pixelated Trump's head. Which mm-hmm. did which? Do you know?
I'll bet because CNN has a relationship with Kathy, they probably either didn't show it or pixelated the head. That's my guess.
Okay, and what about the other two?
Fox probably showed the whole thing. And who was the third one?
MSNBC.
MSNBC probably didn't show anything.
Okay. It's a complete flip-flop of what you'd expect. Fox, who's usually pretty edgy, whatever, they pixelated it.
What?
Yeah, they kind of blurred out Trump's head. This is the coverage I saw. They may have changed at some point, but the three I saw early this morning, they did that. MSNBC was like, here you go, the whole damn thing. And CNN was like, this is way too disturbing, so we've decided not to show this and never do it. If this were 4 years ago, if it were Obama, and I don't play that game with left and right, I'm just talking about the media, though, and their coverage. Would Fox have pixelated it? Would they have showed it? Would they have not showed it? I think they would have showed it.
Probably.
Okay. MSNBC, would they have showed that whole thing like did this morning?
No, they would not only not showed it, they would have panel experts on psychology. Yeah. And they would have been telling you what is wrong with this country.
Right. Well, and what they'd have, all of our staffers here that were forced to see these pictures.
They
to
went
report
into
the
training.
News. We have psychologists standing by. Look, we've got comfort dogs on set.
We got puppies and
kittens. Puppies during the break or whatever. Right. This is what they would have done. And CNN would have been like, wait a minute, there was a picture of a severed head. They wouldn't even know what the hell was going on. But I think CNN is trying to cover for Kathy Griffin.
Didn't somebody pixelate her head?
Yeah, that was. We talked about Stephen Miller yesterday. He did, and I was like, God bless him. That's what should be happening here. That's. I think that's probably the best move on this thing. There was also a hashtag, we started a hashtag this morning that maybe you should check out on Twitter as well. Define COFEFE. COVFEFE. There was a tweet by Donald Trump late last night that was up all night long where he basically just threw out this nonsensical word.
Or was it?
Or was it? He put, and this is from the Real Donald Trump Twitter account, despite the constant negative press, COFEFE, COVFEFE, and that's it.
By the way, by the time I sent it to you, it had 117,000 retweets.
It's code Brad, to the Russians.
It's code? Is that what
it's
it is?
It's code to the Russians. It's how he's been communicating with the Russians
Putin's
the
like,
entire time.
COFEFE. Oh, my stuff. It's going down in North Korea this weekend, right? He's going to attack. Likely a screw-up. He fell asleep.
I think that is it. I think he was... in the moment, about to tweet something, because I've done it. He's old, too. So he's like, press.
This is a COFEFE. So you're right. So here it is again. Despite the constant negative press, COFEFE. So COFEFE by itself as a hashtag went off the charts huge last night.
Our computers crashed TweetDeck.
It may be one of the biggest hashtags this year, COFEFE. It's made the history books because it's nonsensical and everybody's had fun with it. So this morning we asked you to define COFEFE. So maybe you tweet at us, hashtag define COVFEFE. Define COFEFE, or you can just click on it and check yourself. And people have come up with some really good ones. I thought it was a fish served in a light wine and butter sauce, but apparently not. There are some other suggestions as well.
I thought it was the backside, you know, when you're trying to itch something, you can't itch it.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Above the tramp stamp.
Yep.
Okay,
I think
gotcha.
That's a COFEFE right there.
So we had David, Cousin David. Cousin David.
Cousin David.
David Thompson. Cousin David.
Yeah, only because, really, it's just...
Cousin David, sure.
He only has your last name, so now everybody Thompson is your cousin?
We're all connected here. Okay. We're all in. It's a Thompson mafia. So white, so European. It's the Thompson Mafia. It just doesn't have the zing to it. He tweeted, hashtag define COFEFE. It's an Icelandic word meaning little hands and big mouth. It's when you have the combination.
Hands. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think it may likely be the name of his boyhood sled.
Oh.
Kind of like COFEFE. Like in Rosebud and Citizen Kane on his dying bed, COFEFE.
The number of people that have changed their Twitter handles to COFEFE now is getting up there.
Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of people do it.
I think is Ivanka's pet name.
It could
be. Like her pet name.
Tom puts it's COFEFE, hashtag define COFEFE, the new Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor. Could be that.
Someone said it's the 182nd gender.
The 180-second gesture.
So now people identify as Confefe?
That's right, exactly. That's when you're all of them, yet none of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're Confefe.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
That's deep.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. No effing way tweeting, TSA orders Covfefe booster shots for all of its underperforming employees, i.e. all of them. JR15 says, a pizza wrapped in a duck wrapped in another pizza. Mm. That's Covfefe. Some people were trying to figure out if it was an acronym for something.
Do we have the acronym?
The one they had wasn't that good. Maybe there is one that we haven't come up with.
What was that, Covert Feminine Festival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. TMB listener number 42 says it's a variation of the Dirty Sanchez. Oh. Hashtag define Covfefe. I don't know what a Dirty Sanchez is. As far as you all know, let's just move on.
I've never heard of it.
Sleeve
before.
Did it said he just told the press to F off in Estonian. That's what Covfefe might mean. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking maybe it's some sort of threat. And maybe that's what he told the prime minister of
Montenegro.
Yes. When he's, get out of here, whatever. You're in the back, Montenegro. And another thing, Covfefe. That's what it is.
Is that a new word that he learned during his tour?
Maybe that's what it is. He picked it up over there. It could be.
He picked up a slang.
Wow. My buddy, Mike Opalka, who does...
My good friend, Mike. What's Mike Opalka
at StumpRain on Twitter. He does noon to 3 on the Blaze Radio Network. This morning, he texted me and suggested that maybe it's a term of endearment between the Trumps.
Oh.
Donald and Melania.
My little Covfefe.
Possibly naming a body part or two.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, that's, I'm not sure we need
that's
to know
deep.
That.
Do not touch my Covfefe.
That's right, exactly.
You also have Rocky with an eye saying, define Covfefe, an avocado that looks ripe on the outside, but it's completely unripe once you cut it off.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. Well, if you got any suggestions, hashtag define Covfefe, get them into us on the Twitter. Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
So really interesting, this morning after Donald Trump tweeted out what seems like a trailed off tweet with Covfefe ending it, and everybody going crazy, it was up all night. Nobody got through the White House, or they didn't care, or they didn't catch it and said, maybe we should take this down. So it trends. Then this morning, after it went mega viral, they take it down.
Mistake number one.
Right. Have you ever done that? You wake up the day after something, you go,
I do it all the time.
I better delete that.
Haven't you followed this guy for long enough?
Right. I do it all the time, but it's like four people saw it and it's kind of embarrassing, whatever. This went mega viral. If you cannot fix it, or if you can't fix it, you feature it.
Sure.
That's the rule. And by the way, that's kind of Trump's charm, right? Mm-hmm. He just kind of, he has everybody going, what's it mean and all this. He has them back on their heels. And by the way, nobody's talking about Russia.
Yep.
So it works for him. So you take this down. No, you go bigger with it. So they take it down for about an hour or so, and then a new tweet that says, who can figure, this is again from Trump's account, not the POTUS one, the real Donald Trump.
Right.
It says, who can figure out the true meaning of Covfefe? Enjoy.
Love it.
Huge.
This is the thing. I didn't vote for Trump, or I did not support Trump, but this is one of the reasons I like the guy now. Because he's like, he trolls him. He actually is, and I think if he focuses on being himself and stop trying to be so upright,
better.
It'll be better for America. That is the perfect way to deal with something as a misstep.
Right, and that's today's world. That's social media. That's what you do. And by the way, you're not going to hide it. It's already out there. They're already Covfefe and all over the place, right?
Oh, it's not
I can
a
use
verb?
It that way. I can use it as a verb that
a
way,
verb?
Too.
Okay.
Right, right. So
did
it's
you
out there.
Covfefe today?
That's right. Have fun with it, right? So just go crazy. In fact, if I were him, I may have started tweaking people.
Whoa, like how?
Who do you want to go after? Rosie O'Donnell?
Oh.
That's right. I wouldn't Covfefe that with a 10-foot pole.
How about North Korea?
How about this? Yeah. I mean, they test launched, right? Mm-hmm. Our missile defense system yesterday
yeah.
After their stuff. You just put attention North Korea. Covfefe.
You're... Here comes Covfefe.
Can you imagine what they would have been milling about, all of the little Asian people in North Korea running around going, what the heck did he mean by that? Have we any reference? Is it lost in translation? Is it an acronym? They would be trolling like crazy trying to figure out what this is.
The whole
is.
Korea...
the code talkers would have been out.
Right, exactly.
They would have been working
like, okay, Covfefe, can we figure that out?
Likely people would have been being killed, like his generals and stuff, because I don't know
you
what it means.
You do not know what Covfefe means. Off with your head.
Right, exactly. Oh, they would have Kathy Griffin'd him.
Oh, yes.
It all comes
another
full
verb.
Circle.
Another
all
verb.
All the way around.
Wow.
All the way around there. All right, I still have to tell my Secret Service story, and also got a really interesting author coming up about a half hour or so from right now about branding for businesses. I love entrepreneurs, I love entrepreneurship, and this is going to be something that helps you understand the future of branding, not just in products, but also yourself. We'll do that coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson, regularly heard on the Morning Blaze, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Blaze Radio Network. Just go to theblaze.com/doc if you want to find out more about me. Joined by other members of the Morning Blaze, Chris Cruz. On Twitter, it's the it's real Chris Cruz. And on Twitter, Brad Staggs.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
He's been dipping into the covfefe is what he's been
enough
doing.
Enough covfefe for today.
Yeah. Okay, fine. It's the Blaze Brad, if you want, for Brad Staggs. And on Twitter, it's at Doc Thompson Show, if you want to join the program. So we're talking about Kathy Griffith possibly getting visited by the Secret Service, or at least the Secret Service investigating this picture of her.
They're on it, Doc.
Artistic.
They're on it.
The Secret Service is on it, investigating a picture of her, an artistic display, I guess I'll say.
Air quotes.
Comedy,
what's
air,
your
quotes,
air quotes. Okay, there.
Of the severed head of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I was visited once by the Secret Service as well. I think Glenn's told his story about them showing up here. Mm-hmm. I recognize they have to, at this point, investigate all threats. But what is a threat? Would you see this Kathy Griffin one as a threat?
Oh, no. I wouldn't.
I'd be a really bad Secret Service agent. That I'd be like, come on, guys. It's an attempt at art. Not funny, inappropriate, fine.
Actually, it's attempted at comedy. I see it more as a comedy because she is a comedian. She calls herself a comedian. So I see a bad attempt as a comedy than art.
Okay.
It's just a bad decision.
There's that as well. So years ago, I was working in Richmond, Virginia, doing afternoons at WRVA. And love Richmond, love being there. It was awesome. But I'd only been working there about 3 or 4 months doing the afternoon program. And that would have been at the end of the George W. Bush administration. So this would have been the fall of 2017. We were, or so, excuse me, 2007. Fall of 2007. 2008 was, of course, the election in November. So we just started there a couple months or so on the air, and I got a really bad cold, and I didn't have any vacation time. I didn't have any days I could use at this point. So I go to the doctor, and I'm loaded up on medication. It's a real struggle. I can barely speak like this in my head. I just can't put the words together, kind of like now. And I'm just struggling, and I have no energy. So I'm on antibiotics and a couple of different looseners and sinuses and things to get it. It was horrible. So I'm just trying to get some energy. So I drink a cup of coffee and I'm like, okay, just focus, man, focus. And I'm just starting to get a little steam going. And I was really ticked off at something George W. Bush had done. Imagine that.
Oh, which is figure. Normal for you.
Which is normal because he grew government almost as much as Obama did. And I'm really getting heated and it's finally clicking and my thoughts are a little clearer and I'm just concentrating. And then I go into my break, in the commercial break, and I was like, did I kind of say something wrong there? I mean, this is how foggy my head is. I'm like, was there something inappropriate? So I said to my producer, Clifford, I go, hey, did I say something edgy or wrong? Or, and he goes, no. he listens about as much as Cal, our producer on The Morning Blaze. And so I was like, oh, okay, great. Well, either he didn't hear it or he didn't think it was wrong. The next day, about an hour before I go on the air, the boss comes walking by. He goes, hey, got a minute? And I said, yeah. He goes, good, walk up front. Secret Service is here. I was like, what? Yeah. Secret Service. They're like, yeah, we got reports. He said something on the air or whatever. And I'm like, what the heck did I say? So I'm like, is that yesterday? We go back. We get the tape. In my fogginess, being really ticked off, I said, the guy ought to be shot.
Oh.
But you know how you're like, whoopsie, somebody ought to slap that. Someone ought to punch that guy in the mouth.
Why didn't you say that? Why did you say shot?
What do you mean, why did I say it? It was this mistake. I screwed up. And also, I'm an idiot. No, I know you can't say it, but it's like one of those things you just say off the cuff. And again, I wouldn't have said it knowing you're on the air and talking about the president, whatever, but it was this fogginess. So the Secret Service agent goes, all right, well, we have to investigate it. And I'm like, all right. And I'm watching the clock and it's like, okay, 45 minutes, I'm on the air. Half hour till I'm on the air. We're waiting. We get the tape. They listen to it. And he goes, all right, well, doesn't seem all that egregious or anything. We think, you know where you're coming from on there. Kind of. And I was like, okay. Like 20 minutes before I go on the air, he goes, all right, normally there's, and I don't know if he was joking or threw out a random number. He goes, normally there's 53 questions we have to ask you. Or it was
not 51,
right?
Not 54.
It was around 50, but it was not an even number. It was like 47, 53, 61. It was something like this. And I was like, okay, I got like 15 minutes left.
Can we speed this up?
Right. And he goes, but it doesn't seem that bad. So we'll just make this quick and do the short version. Two questions. And I was like, okay, I hope there's not a slide rule. I was told there'd be no math. He goes, number one, you got to, first of all, let me just, first of all, hang on a second.
The spirit of Jeffy is here.
This is Jeffy on the show. First of all, see, I find it difficult to bite my tongue quite often.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Shaving a haircut. I can't not go to the punchline if you're setting me up. So he goes, what would you do if George W. Bush walked in the room right now?
Oh.
So many answers about the TSA.
You
so
bite
many
your
responses
tongue so hard
about
that you were bleeding.
Creating a whole new Department of Government and supporting illegal immigration and overspending like crazy. So many fail. And I was like, shaving a hair. I'd probably ask to interview him. All right. Good answer. Second question, do you harbor any ill will toward the president? Shave a haircut. You mean about the way he screwed up? Just started going off in my head, and I'm going, don't go to prison today, Doc. Do not go to prison. This is a bad career move. Even Kathy Griffin knows this. Bad career move for you. You're soft and spongy. You won't do well in cell block two. This is not good. So I go, no, I don't. And secretly, I really did harbor professional ill will toward him, just not personal ill will. But I don't think they would have gotten that nuanced answer.
So you lied to the Secret Service.
Basically, yeah. I just didn't clarify, yes. No professional ill or personal ill will, just professional. I didn't want him to be president anymore because he did a poor job. Wasn't conservative or libertarian. So he goes, all right, fine. And then on the way out, the other guy, agent's like, hey, we're really sorry we had to do this or whatever. By the way, we got to keep this tape. I was like, okay.
So you have a file.
You're on file.
Oh, I am way on file. But. It's for threatening Bush, not Obama.
Okay.
So that's good. You cover.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Can you imagine if I had been the one of the Obama?
I don't think we'll be talking to you right now.
And that's my plausible deniability about hating on Obama for 8 years.
Okay.
It wasn't him that I threatened to kill.
Right.
Oh, it was, so you get a pass?
Bush, according to some people.
We didn't even threaten to kill him.
And I didn't, right. I said something
inappropriate.
Said somebody
else should
shoot him. Right.
Okay.
But here's the thing about it. Somebody heard that in the audience and said, I got to call this one in. And you know, it's a rant and it's an off the cuff remark. Did that person really think I was advocating this?
Was your ex-wife in the listening
no,
area?
No, I don't think she was at that point. Yeah, I got him now. I got him now. I got him right here on tape. I think it was more likely, remember, conservative radio station, mm-hmm. right? With probably primarily Republican listeners and me being honest about George W. Bush. Right. They probably didn't take kindly to that.
You take them off?
I think that's probably what happened. How dare you say something like that? Because I like this guy. Not holding him accountable for all of his failures. Remember, it wasn't until way late in his second term that people started wising up and speaking the truth. I mean, Glenn had, for most of the run, he gave him his due back and forth. I did, and always felt kind of, you know, off from a lot of the conservative talk show hosts because they just carried water for him. A lot of them just, defend, and we're not willing to say what he did wrong. So it was like that last year and a half where things started, people going, wait a moment. And I'm like, yeah, where were you? I was a year and a half in going, wait a minute, we're spending what? We're doing what? This is a problem. I mean, I knew by his reelection that there was something really, really wrong with this scenario. But most people couldn't do it. And that's what brought about the Tea Party. It was the TARP program. Remember when they came out and said, we got to spend $1 trillion and we can't tell you why. We just hope it works.
Yeah.
What are you going to spend? We don't know. It's just got to be a really big number. So it could have been $800 billion. It's got to be a big number. What?
The bigger, the better?
And what's going to happen? Global meltdown. How do you know? We don't.
We'll just
know if we spend this money if it didn't melt down.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And that was when, we're here to help.
Right, and that's when the Tea Party stepped up and started certain people saying we got to get some sort of Tea Party group in response to this, even though they primarily said it was anti-Obama. He just got more and more people involved in it. But that was the George W. Bush saying, I'm a free market guy. I love free market, but we have to do this. That was basically his quote.
Those last 4 years, that was a real victory lap.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that was not an easy day for me with that one. So then, by the way, I have to go on and do a show. I mean,
how did that go?
It was rough.
It was?
This is the thing. When you're on the air, you gotta bring it. You got to have a certain swagger and be bigger than life with this stuff. Well, I just almost got arrested by the Secret Service.
So how was the swagger?
Before. I had no swagger.
They took it away?
The swagger completely
so
gone.
So they took your manhood?
They did. They took
wow.
it. I had nothing.
He there was deflated.
There was no hubris, no chutzpah, no mojo. It was gone,
they
Chris.
Took your confefe.
They did. Confefe
oh
less.
Oh, my God.
I was confefe less on that day. So I get through the first break, and the producer said to me, and I wear this as a little badge of honor. He goes, I got to tell you, your two predecessors in this time slot, they would have gone home. They would have been home drinking. And I said, I don't know how it went. I'm just glad to go. And I go, you know, someday I'm going to laugh about this. Many, many years down. And today's that
today's
day.
The day.
Today's that day. By the way, Brad, can you look up statute of limitations?
Yeah.
All right, get some of your calls coming up. It's 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Of course, you can tweet at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, or at The Blaze Brad on Twitter. And we're still using the hashtag Define Covfefe, COVFEFE. If you have a definition, help us out. Doc Thompson of The Morning Blaze in for Glenn Beck and the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to The Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, so let's get some calls here. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Ohio. And Edwin, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. How are you?
I'm good, Doc. I'm good. I'm missing you, missing hearing you here in the Cincinnati area.
I appreciate that. That's very nice to hear. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I wanted to bring up a double standard. Now that you talked about when they interviewed you, for what you said about shooting them, I don't know what they're going to do now with Madonna, but my main point was, how come they're not getting after that girl? What's her name, Kathy, who held up the head?
Kathy
Griffin. By the way, they should have pixeled out her face because she needed makeup on that video that she
needed
did.
More but, than makeup.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh, look at that. And also Trump's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's disgusting.
Imus got fired after saying those nappy-haired girls when I got black friends of mine saying that they did have nappy hair, you know, but this girl over here, she's able to hold up the head, effigy of the head of the president.
But more recently than even Don Imus, because that was, what, 10, 12, 15 years ago now?
That was a long time.
Bill O'Reilly.
What about him?
What about Bill O'Reilly for allegations? And you know the whole backstory, who recently got fired, and all of the other people who've been, you know, run out and recently have certain things said. People are way too sensitive, and there's a double standard, clearly.
10 years ago for Imus.
Yeah, but they're way too sensitive on the wrong side. They should be equal about it, and they shouldn't just give her the pass. She did it just to cover her ass, you know that.
I think that's probably it. Thank you for your call, though, sir. I really appreciate it. I think it probably was real quick.
Cruz's voice sounds like that guy on the 70s show.
Oh, wow, Fez. Wow.
They are actually the same person.
It's actually, thank you. Thank you for recognizing
that.
You're
welcome. Take care now, guys.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I just appreciate, what do I always tell you? You sound like Fez, so he's getting my back. It's not just me.
I say good day.
Wow, Cal
got
that was
it
too. Good, yeah.
It was really solid.
I say good
there.
Day, okay?
No, and obviously Bill O'Reilly's a different situation. I'm just talking about people who are hell-bent on bringing people down because of some of this stuff. Bill O'Reilly's completely different scenario. But it's still character assassination and career assassination is what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring down people they don't like, ultimately.
Right. Okay, so you say that. We're in a sensitive world right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're 2017. Donald Trump is president. Women can have penises and all that stuff.
Right.
How can we desensitize now?
What do you mean?
How can we stop being so hypersensitive when it comes to all this stuff?
The horse is long out of the barn.
Like you said, there's 182 genders right now. Mm-hmm. You know, guy can go into a bathroom if he feels like a girl.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking Jeffy's gender into account?
Yes.
Okay, then 182.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
That's why I added 100.
Oh,
that's,
gotcha. Yeah. No, you're right about that. And I don't think that when we finally start changing back from the political correct world we're in, I don't think it's going to be slow. It's not, you get to something like this because of the slow adding on progressive steps, but it's going to swing back quickly. I've told the story on our morning show, and I don't think I've told it, maybe in part of Think Tank with Glenn on the Blaze TV. About speaking to a group of high school kids recently, age 16, 17, and 18. And when I started going off on political correctness, they went bug nuts and cheered. And I was like, oh my gosh, I thought they'd like disagree with me, like appreciating politically correctness.
They're easily offended.
These are ones who did not agree with political correctness.
So there's hope.
Yes, it wasn't the millennials, though. It was the next generation after. Okay. And that's not to bag on millennials. We talked a little bit about it this morning. They've had this thrust upon them. They were taught this nonsense.
Right.
And they don't like it either. They just don't know how to get out. But the generation after them, the high schoolers, hate this stuff. And you look at their blogs, look at their Twitter accounts, the videos they're producing, and it rebukes it in a big way. The pendulum's going to swing back quickly. I just hope we don't become jerks about it. Not being politically correct does not mean, okay, be a jerk and a bully.
Right.
You know, it's speak your mind, put it out there, but don't try to keep people down or hurt people with the stuff. If you're not politically correct and you're just doing your thing, that's fine. But if you're using it to punish people and to be a bully, that's wrong.
So you have faith in the future.
I actually do. I think we get a couple
Sucker.
Of things. First of all, thanks. The baby boomers and Gen Xers hate the political correct stuff. They do. They don't get it, understand it. The millennials don't like it, are having trouble and, you know, figuring it out and trying to get out of it. That's where they're at right now, and they're learning quickly. The generation after them, is it Z? Is that what they call them?
I?
Whatever.
I thought it was I.
Whatever it is. They're all ticked off about it. You put that together with some solid economic policies in this country.
Like tax reform?
True tax reform. Now you're getting me going to true tax reform and spending reform and a couple things. We're in good shape, but you have to get it done.
Unfortunately, we'll be dead by the time it all happens.
It'll take a little while. I mean, some of us are older than others.
You guys are older, yes.
Yeah, likely get that done. Hashtag define Covfefe. Michael Matthews tweeting, Covfefe is the animal that lives on Trump's head.
Although I like what you said earlier.
The animal that lives in Trump's head also would work as well. And listen, if you like Trump, don't give me the business here. Laugh at it. It's still funny, even if you like him. Joan Hillgrove tweeting, it's Obama's uncle. Uncle Covfefe. Defied Covfefe. He had Onango. Is that one of them? Or was that the aunt? He had the aunt that was living on welfare, remember? The uncle.
That's right, yeah.
He had an aunt and an uncle both in America, and then an uncle in wherever that was.
Right.
But the aunt was the one that was living in public housing. Because, yeah. You know, you can't help out your aunt. You got millions of dollars.
Oh, I think I got it. Covfefe is the name of the orb that we're holding.
Oh, is that it? Maybe that was like a seance to the great Covfefe.
So does this mean he's out of the club?
I don't know. Maybe he let the cat out of the bag. Let's see. Woody, hashtag define Covfefe, the lesser known brother of Kaiser Sose. Covfefe!
Say hello to my little Covfefe!
Get him in on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Define Covfefe.
Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You familiar with Twitch?
I had heard of it. I didn't know exactly what it was for.
Video streaming, and then a lot of gamers use it or whatever. I'm just not familiar that I'm not a gamer.
Kids. You know, it's for those kids.
For the kids. There's an Amazon engineer that's letting users dictate how he spends $50,000 on the stock market.
I can help.
Can you do it? Is it Brad Staggs Incorporated?
Uh-huh, yeah.
It'll go big, baby, yep. Big, buy yep. Low, sell high.
Yep.
Right? Bulls, bears, here we go. Yeah, so what it is, his name's Mike Rogers. He's out of Seattle, and he's an Amazon engineer. What he's doing, he's letting people vote on how he spends the $50,000. So far, 60,000 people have come through to play along, or at least gawk and take a look at it. What would be interesting is to see if, when they vote, if he does well. By the way, this story is at glennbeck.com. If you want to see the whole thing and find the links to it, go to glennbeck.com and check it out. There was a book years ago, something about the wisdom. It might be actually be called The Wisdom of Crowds. And it tells how, you know, there's this popular myth that a crowd of people is dumb. You know, we react if somebody fires a gun, whatever,
crowd
we're
mentality.
Stupid. Crowd mentality. But they said in some ways, crowds are really smart, and they use some different math equations. And one of them was, if you see like the ball, the big jar of gumballs or jelly beans, and you got to guess how many there are, and the closest one wins the trip to Hawaii or whatever it is. They said when you average out all of those answers, the more you have, the better it is. You usually come pretty close to the answer. It's this really simple formula.
Right. That would make sense.
So that was just one example I remember. So the rule is if you see what everybody's guessed, where it's like an open list, right. Average them all together.
Yep.
And divide, and there you go. That's your answer.
I like that.
So I wonder if you were to put this out there and say, vote on all these different stocks or how I should be investing the money, maybe if you got like 60,000, they'd actually have pretty good picks for you. Or?
See, I would take the whole thing and put it in Bitcoin now.
Oh, I'd be all over Bitcoin right now. I owned one a couple years ago, made a couple $100, got out, it went belly up, and I'm thinking about buying more. Mm-hmm. They're expensive, but you don't have to buy a full coin. So if I think the Bitcoin's about $3,000 right now.
$2,231 right now.
Oh, it dropped a little bit then. Okay. 22. You don't have to buy a whole one. You could buy like $50 worth of it. It's a 0.006 or whatever it is. So check it out. I'm a big fan of entrepreneurships and ideas and businesses. We do a lot on my morning show about it with our Building America segment. So I'm excited to talk to Jeff Rosenblum. He's author of Friction, Passion Brands in the New Age of Disruption. Jeff, what's a passion brand?
Hey, first of all, thank you for having me. Oh, can you hold on one second?
Yes, sir.
Looks like the Secret Service is at my door.
Anybody connected me with me, Jeff, is going to be bad for you right now.
Yeah, no, actually, we're cool. They knocked on the door, but they're looking for you.
I don't think yeah. He's not here. He's in Dallas.
Cool. Yeah, but to get back on topic and answer your question, what's a friction brand? It really comes down to this, which is every industry around the world is being disrupted by data and technology. And billions of dollars are at stake, right? These stalwart brands, these brands that we grew up with, are getting crushed by these upstarts. And emerging from this revolutionary environment are what we call passion brands. These are brands that dominate the competition. And they do it quite simply by fighting friction. So friction is anything that gets in the way of what people want to accomplish in life. It's anything that gets in the way of their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, and even their mundane day-to-day goals. Because the bottom line is this. People want more from brands than just clever advertisements. They want brands to help solve their problems. And that's what fighting friction is all about.
So the non-passion brands, sometimes they're bigger brands, have been around longer, spent more money on marketing, but aren't seeing the same share that they used to, right? Some of these used to be back in the day. You spent a lot of money on advertising. You were a well-known, you know, product that you'd buy in the supermarket or something. You just won. You had the market share, but that's right. Not the case now.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing it every day, right? If you can still be a very good brand and you can still make very good money. But that's not what a passion brand is all about. I think that's why Ford replaced its CEO. They had a guy who was really into steady growth and risk aversion and very traditional marketing. And they replaced it with a guy who really embraces disruption, a guy who is all about sort of innovative products and immersive storytelling. So there's nothing wrong with being a good brand. You can make good money, but these passion brands have exponential growth.
Would McDonald's be an example of a brand that is not a passion brand right now? Because they seem to have slipped considerably.
Yeah, that's a great point and a great question. They were a passion brand. I think we all sort of grew up passionately about McDonald's.
Sure.
I grew up with them and I loved them, but as taste changed, they've had trouble changing, right?
Yeah.
And look, it's a tough model, right? You have all these different franchises. It's tough to organize it, but that category is getting disrupted by, you know, there's a restaurant across the street, a chain across the street, and they fight friction. It's called Sweetgreen. They literally have lines out the door. Once I thought I was driving by a rock concert, I pulled the car over. I was like, what show am I missing? And these people are lining up to get salads. And basically, they're fighting friction, not just in the food, but in the technology they use, like the ability to order the products through a mobile app.
So mm-hmm. is there a general idea when we're looking for products, not so much of, well, I need this product because it's cheap, it does this, all these things that we've come to know. Is it more about, I'm trying to find something, even if it's just for the moment, to make my life better? Should that be the approach that people are when they're branding?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That last point you made, it's make my life better, which is sort of inherent in any product, right? To your point of entrepreneurs who listen to your show, you're not going to create a product unless you think it's better than the competition and improve people's lives. But that's sort of table stakes. At this point, people are looking for the totality of the experience. So it used to be the product and some great advertisements, and it still is. But now there's all these different ways that people interact with brands, whether it's social media, mobile marketing, search marketing, content videos. It's virtually unlimited. So brands have to use all of those touch points to do exactly what you mentioned, improve people's lives. They can't just interrupt and they can't just entertain.
Like Uber would be a passion brand. Because I know we had an experience over the mm-hmm. weekend with Uber and a taxi, and what a better experience with Uber. And that actually is one of those brands that makes your life better because it makes it easier. Am I right?
Man, that is a great example. We actually feature Uber in the book to help explain what we call macro and micro friction. Macro, the big things that sit at the category, like taxis stink and getting a car on demand is great. Mm-hmm. And micro friction, these little things like a 5-star rating system that everybody sits on this system, so everybody acts civilized. Now, since we've written the book, Uber's gotten a little trouble for sort of bad behavior, which is a great example. It's almost like Kathy Gifford, right? It's almost like United Airlines. Like
Kathy Griffin.
If you do something stupid, you're just going to get outed at this point. So Uber, to me, is a passion brand, but to a lot of people, they're losing their luster.
Yeah, I keep going back to the idea of it's making a life better, because even if it's, hey, I found this cool new little techie thing, I mean, it's not going to change your life, revolutionize it. You're not going to be, you know, 10 pounds lighter and a better dancer overnight or something, but it's cool for the moment. It does something small to make your life a little better. It solves a little problem.
Right.
And we have so many problems every day, being more connected, social media. I mean, think about all of the problems you're confronted with now. Mm-hmm. Every day we're inundated with them. Any little win like that's going to be huge for you.
It's exactly right, right? And everybody's fighting for what we call the attention economy. We have limited time, limited attention. I would think that attention and time for a lot of people is actually more valuable than money. So at some point you need to figure out through the product and through the experience, through the way you educate and inform people, are you not only capturing their attention, but are you using their time wisely?
The book is Friction, Passion Brands in the Age of Disruption. We're talking with Jeff Rosenblum. Jeff, this brands also are people too. You mentioned Kathy Griffin just now, and people, these characters, I, Glenn, different people when you're on the air is a brand too. Does this all apply as well to people?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And, you know, you could look at it through both lenses. We can stay on the brand thing. In a lot of ways, brands need to think of like they are a friend and like they are a human being. If you think about your best friends in this world, not, you know, the 40 people who come over for a big party, but like those five people you can absolutely rely upon, these are the people you'll do anything for and vice versa. But it's not because they're cool. It's not because they entertain you and make you laugh. There's something more meaningful. Your best friends in this whole world improve your life in a meaningful way, right? Emotionally, rationally, and that's the way brands need to behave. You know, Facebook has this whole thing like friend me. So everyone was doing these silly things like, here's a picture of a cat doing something silly. Will you like it? Will you friend me? That's really superficial. At the end of the day, if you want people to sit at a bar, sit at a restaurant, sit at the dinner table, sit around the campfire and talk about how great the brand is, you do need to do exactly what you mentioned, which is act like a friend, provide value.
Value. That's it.
That's what Jeffy does on a daily basis.
Well, we get somebody to mock. Exactly. Yeah. There's value in that, right? Mm-hmm. And remember, as long as Jeffy's around, everybody else is better off.
Exactly.
He's the before picture, mm-hmm. right? We're all okay
he's
with
the living,
it.
Living embodiment of the before picture.
Jeff, what would your advice be to a Kathy Griffin this morning with her situation? She came out and said, all right, I got to get out in front of this and I apologize. Some people said she doesn't seem sincere. Some probably think she does. Do you just keep doubling down on the apologies?
Well, look, I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. I think it's about behavior at this point, right? I think it felt sincere. Other people who don't like it might think it felt insincere. There's only so much you can apologize. Again, to your point, just like a friend, if your friend messes up and they apologize, that's one thing. But you're not looking for a second, third, and fourth apology. You're looking for your friend to change their behavior.
Wow.
So if you shift that over to say, hey, like United Airlines, right? They made an apology, but what's next? What are you going to do when I interact with you? And I mean, not just on the airplane. I mean, the second I think about booking a trip, going to the airport, being in the terminal, flying on your airplane, getting off, following up through all my digital connections, email, social, et cetera, what are you going to do that makes my life better? So for Kathy, you know, she's a comedian. I'm not quite sure what to do with that whole situation, but for a brand, it's leverage all those ways that people interact with you.
You know what? There's also track record before you do something. If you have a track record that people can at least find some value on, they're like, well, okay, I get it. I mean, even if you're a sensational comedian or you're outrageous or whatever, but now in our divided political structure, you look back at Kathy, same thing with the media stuff. I said, I can't trust you on all the Russia stuff because your track record has been so bad. If you had a long track record of me trusting you, I'd be like, okay, I can give you a bit of a pass. Good stuff, Jeff. Jeff Rosenblum, author of Friction, Passion Brands in the Age of Disruption. Jeff, I'll tweet out a link to your social media and also to the book. What is your social media, Twitter and Facebook accounts?
At J.R. Questus, J-R-Q-U-E-S-T-U-S, and the book is up on Amazon, and I appreciate you serving that up for me.
Absolutely. We'll put that out there. Real solid stuff. Love to talk to you another time. Jeff Rosenblum on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
If you are an entrepreneur, you have that entrepreneurial spirit, dreaming and doing, you have a business and you'd like some airtime, we put people on our morning radio broadcast with the hashtag Building America on Twitter. You can go back and look at past ones or tweet at us with the hashtag Building America. And we just spotlight businesses because we like to hear what you're doing and we want to help out. We love entrepreneurs and people who dream and do because that's what built America and that's what's going to make us better. So use the hashtag Building America. Tell us about your business and we'll likely be in contact with you soon. And we've also started some Building America packages for advertising beyond that. But I love the concept of brands and how these things are developing now. I found a schematic. They did a survey and asked people which brands they were most aware of and which brands they liked the most. Which brands they liked the most and which one, like, coolest.
Right.
And which ones they were most aware of. So down one side, you have From left to right along the bottom, least cool to most cool, left to right.
Okay, yeah.
And then up to the top, most aware, down to the bottom, least aware. Mm-hmm. So you go into the upper right, most aware and coolest. What are the top couple of brands? Give me three, and they're all the way up there. Number one brand, and we're talking everything.
Google?
Google's third.
Like YouTube?
YouTube, number one.
Twitter?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Netflix is the other. Twitter, actually, not doing as well. Pretty really? Aware of it. Drops down a notch or two when it comes to coolness.
Twitter and, does.
Yeah. Some of this is generational.
And how old are these? This is
recently. Recently.
And is there an age category or an age group that these people are
They didn't in? Specify okay. one, so I think it's pretty blanket.
All right.
Next popular chunk and aware, Oreo. Which is really? A weird one.
That is strange.
Xbox, Chrome, GoPro, Doritos, Nike, Apple. Those are all pretty popular ones. Chick-fil-A, real high. The highest of any fast food one up there. People are aware of it and think it's cool. Mm-hmm. On the low end, people aware of it but not cool, TMZ.
Really?
Yeah. Uber aware. The three most popular... and all the people are aware of, but not cool. Okay. All the way to the upper left, McDonald's, Sprint, and Yahoo.
Wow, I can see Yahoo is one of those that you just—it's right. It's hard to even type it in.
So the problem with those that where they're aware of you and you're not cool, mm-hmm. you're spending, you're mm-hmm. out there,
and people still don't like
they
you.
They don't like you, so you got to rebrand. You got to mm-hmm. come up with something different. If they don't know about you, it's like we just got to tell people more about it, right? Doc Thompson in on the Glenn Beck Program.
We are one.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson, regularly heard on The Morning Blaze, the Blaze Radio Network, along with a couple of other members of The Morning Blaze, Chris Cruz and Brad Staggs, filling in for Glenn and company this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Sadly, there was another attack overnight, this one in Afghanistan. Night before last, we had two car bombs in Baghdad. Mm-hmm. But last night it was an attack in Cal. Was it an explosion? Is that what that was as well?
Yeah, it was an explosion in Kabul.
What's the death toll, 90?
I think we're at 90 now, yeah, the most recent death toll.
Cal is part of the Morning Blaze as well, and also happens to be Muslim.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
You didn't know this?
I did not know that.
You weren't aware of this.
When were you guys going to drop this information?
I just wear a t-shirt that just says
yes,
that. Just says
please.
It. They know when he goes to the airport.
Oh, they do that, yes.
Oh, yes.
They know.
Somehow they find that
they
out
They found
quickly.
That one out pretty quickly
Q-10.
When he drops.
Q10.
I'm always randomly
selected. Yeah, you're always randomly selected. So, but this Ramadan started on Friday, I think it was.
Saturday.
So you've got one of the holiest times for Muslims, yet it's one of the most violent times. Explain that one, Cal.
Recently, yeah, you know, these fanatic radicals are, I guess, taking their own interpretation of what is considered holy and making something that's supposed to be a very, you know, peaceful month of retrospection and getting closer to God and helping others to making it into something violent and extremist.
Well, last year, I think there was one attack alone during Ramadan. 300 people were killed. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, it doesn't matter who or what you are. These are lives. These are human beings that have been killed and attacked. And that's absolutely wrong. Again, we focus on America and the West first. That makes more sense. Absolutely. But these are still 90 people that were slaughtered last night.
And it's happening more and more often.
I just am shocked that Cal hasn't been more vocal, especially after Manchester. You know, I don't hear Muslims standing. I don't hear Muslims standing up enough saying this stuff is wrong.
Are you serious?
I'm just saying, you know, where's the Muslim standing up
exactly.
and saying it's wrong?
Yep.
You know.
Fine.
Let's hear. Come on.
Being of Muslim faith.
Yeah, what's
Would like to apologize for any and all radical fanatics who
transgressions.
And transgressions they
murders.
Have.
Can you decapitations.
Me, are you gonna let me finish?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Floor's yours.
You know, this is obviously intolerable and nothing to do with faith, but I still will apologize on behalf of any of these maniacs who hijack a peaceful religion for their own.
Do you condemn them?
I condemn greatly everything. Any murder in any in the name of any faith.
Okay. No. Just
by the
Muslim
way,
faith.
Kathy Griffin just called. She said that wasn't very sincere.
Yes.
Just so you know.
You know what?
She said
I just would think you would be more vocal about this stuff. I mean, you know, these
I'm
attacks.
I'm always vocal. What are you talking about?
I just
How many
don't
times?
Hear, I never hear Muslims standing up saying this stuff is wrong.
Together, I always come out and say this.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and make sure that we hold you accountable. That whenever these things happen,
obviously,
and Muslims do wrong, you got to stand up and be vocal.
We're all the same, yeah.
Exactly. So as long as you're going to stand up and be vocal when these things happen, I think we're good to go. All right.
If only someone was listening.
Right. Exactly. All right. Moving on.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up?
Aren't you going to apologize?
I'm not Muslim.
I'm not talking about Muslim.
What are you?
Hello, the Portland incident that happened. Jeremy Joseph Christian was the suspect's name. Stabbing two people.
Yeah, white
actually,
Christian
three people,
dude.
Killing two.
Ooh, you got me there.
You know, he's screaming out things like, you call it terrorism, I call it patriotism.
Wow.
That's what he said. He said, death to the enemies of America, he said.
So the white Christian
leave
guy
leave this country
did some...
if you hate our freedom, death to Antifa.
So the white Christian guy did something wrong. Wow,
yeah.
That's...
Last time I checked, you're pretty pasty white.
Yeah, and Christian, too.
You are Christian.
Right,
I'm so uncomfortable.
Doc Thompson, apologizing.
Yeah, Doc Thompson, condemn all acts in the name of Christianity where people are being violent and doing things wrong against God's will. And I certainly do not support this, and we need to make sure to be vocal and speak against this whenever possible.
I'm gonna need a little more passion in your apology.
And a little more what?
Passion.
Yeah. Well, I'm not the only one here. Where's Brad apologizing? He's pasty white Christian, too. And although
so,
not pasty white,
hold on,
wait a minute.
I'm so glad I'm not white right now.
Yes, but he's also a Christian, and you're a Christian, so let's have it, Mr. Cruz.
Christian Cruz.
That's right.
Once again, I guess, I apologize for the Christians out there.
Good.
I am sorry. Is that good enough?
Yeah, I'm just glad you guys are shouldering some of this weight here.
I'm 1/8 American Indian, and that's the part of me that's really pissed right now.
Okay, good deal, good deal. Now, the people that are being attacked in the Middle East, please pray for them. Yes, it comes down to economics. It comes down to poverty as well. Those are some of the solutions forward. But us being consistent and strong is part of the solution as well. There's a study up or a story up at glennbeck.com. You go to glennbeck.com on Islam and Christianity. Pew Research Center says Muslim population in America will double by 2015. Or 2050, and Muslims will double their share of world population, just U.S. population, and surpass Christianity as the world's dominant religion by the end of the century. So by 2050, it's going to double population in America, and it'll be the number one religion within 80 years.
Wow.
In the world. So I'm not joking. I really find that shocking based on how fast they're killing each other.
Wow.
In the Middle East, seriously.
No, you're right.
I mean, just slaughtering.
Yeah, but in the last 2 days, they lost...
hundreds.
What, like hundreds?
Yeah. I mean, and you look at the West, how many people have been attacked in the West with stuff like this? Manchester, you know, I mean, there's individual little shootings, but not in mass like this. So, shocking, but that's what's going on. Have a update for you on North Korea as well. The U.S. Successfully shot down an intercontinental ballistic missile as part of their test yesterday. So they put the one up there. The Missile Defense Agency said they launched the ground-based interceptors from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. Mm-hmm. That's Southern Cal? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's Southern Cal. And launched the Mach ICBM target over the Pacific, and they were successful in shooting it down, which is amazing. We've talked about that as part of Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Well, but Star Wars.
Star Wars,
back during, you know, Reagan when they came up with this stuff.
Not the movie, but Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars, the SDI initiative, Strategic Defense Initiative is what they called it. And people, it won't work, whatever. Some of that's the Iron Dome technology that Israel has used. We've used some of that and put some of it in operation in South Korea.
Yes, we send them, yeah.
Some of that would shoot this stuff down. And they have been at least somewhat successful on this. But it's amazing that they can do it. It's what's the Star Trek quote from Scotty in one of the new movies?
He's referring to transwarping, but he says it's like trying to hit a bullet with a smaller bullet whilst riding a blindfold and riding a horse.
That's, wow.
Think about shooting another missile out of the sky because it's moving too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And I didn't think about it like that.
4 miles a second, some of these things are moving. That's fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
So at least they were successful at it. I don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. From all indicators, it's going to be bad no matter what happens. It's just what degree of bad. Is there any weasel room out of it for us where we can still be strong, get what we want, and still protect the American citizens and soldiers that are in the area, and also South Koreans, Japanese that are our partners? The best I think you can hope for is, only thousands die. Really, that's what it's looking like.
If you go in and you take out the head of the snake there, doesn't another head of the snake just pop into his
place? They did. So it has to be regime change, number one. Regime change where you're setting up some sort of new government, and they have to get every missile going in, every bullet, every... And I'm not talking just nukes. I'm talking all about the ones that they have amassed along the DMZ. So the thing that makes the most sense, if possible, if we have the technology, EMP or complete internet attack. Right, where we do
cyber warfare.
Maybe there's the two of them. If you can do that, you're
not
going to...
It seems like everybody else is good at the cyber warfare except us.
But you know what, though? I've been talking with Jason Buttrell, who's on Glenn Beck's program from time to time. He's on the Think Tank with Glenn. He thinks that we may lead the world in cyber warfare. It's just none of it's talked about. We only hear about cyber attacks from some of these countries or individuals, and it's never fully proven. It's all done in secret. We might be hammering. Some of those missile failures could have been because of what we did. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I don't think we're, worst. I don't think we're probably even middle of the pack. We're probably one of the bigger players in it.
I'd like to hope so.
Hopefully we are.
Well, here's the thing. You said that a whole regime change. But has the United States been successful at that? Look at the Middle East. We tried all that stuff. No. We've not been successful. Right. Do we really want to do that with North Korea? Again, North Korea is a threat.
But do we have a choice?
What we end up doing is we buy our friends and we put better people in. And sometimes they're there for decades. We buy friends. We keep promising them stuff. And they're better. They're the better of the bad guys. Well, and you're right. I hate that too.
Nations have no permanent friends, just permanent interests.
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, that's part of what Trump had to say when he got back. So they got back from his overseas trip, and they're presenting a narrative that it was successful. Of course, they're always going to say that. But he had his people send out a positive message that says, we are interested in American interest, and the business of the world basically is business. That everybody's out there, and I'm way paraphrasing this, but is interested in themselves. So you want to be our friend, that's great. But we're going to look out for American interests, and we've got to approach it. It's not just blind allies in this stuff,
right?
Which is kind of a shifting in the world. We used to have some common thread. The whole point of NATO was to stand against Russia, Soviet Union, back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Article 5 that says we were all in this together was the linchpin of it. That after World War II, and we're standing up to the Soviet Union and Soviet aggression, was you attack even the smallest and you're going to take on all of us. And that's what it kept the Cold War, which there were some problems with the Cold War, but the Cold War also had some positive sides. If you look at the history of the world since the invention,
a great movie, by the way,
The History of the World, excellent one. If you look at that, it's great. If you look at the history of the world and the number of deaths every year before, including up to and including the invention of nuclear warfare, and then since, it escalated every year up until we developed nuclear capability, and then it leveled off. Instead, it dropped down and leveled off, and it was still almost worldwide. I want to say like 900,000 or a year in skirmishes, wars, whatever, on average every year since. But it stopped it from escalating. What was that? It was the Cold War. It was mutual assured destruction, so it had some value in it. The world has shifted since then. The Berlin Wall came down how long ago? The Soviet Union broke up, and our foreign policy has never really changed. Right. And it flip-flops for what changes we do have every administration.
You know, it's where you talk about the advent of nuclear weapons. And back then, when we were in school, one of the drills that they would do is the duck and cover, get right. under your desk. You know, if there's a nuclear bomb or a nuclear attack, get under the desk. You look back on that.
Those were all lead-lined.
That would have done nothing. You Kids today have no idea what that even
You know
means.
What that is. That's so the you TSA. Don't,
Yeah, security theater.
Right, security theater.
It's to keep the kids from screaming. Just get on the
right.
floor.
It's that, and parents are like, oh, we have a plan.
Yes.
It's a plan that won't do anything.
Get down and close your eyes.
By the way,
and
have you ever looked
coming.
At anybody that lives within a fallout radius of nuclear reactors? Probably have gone through the same thing. I grew up in northeastern Ohio, pretty close to Perry Nuclear Power Plant, which is east of Cleveland. And, you know, they have the little sirens to tell you how to get out if there's a, you know, a meltdown or whatever. And some of that stuff would help. Okay, you can get out of the area, whatever. But one of the things they do is they send you, I think it's iodine tablets. They'll tell you to stock those and send you those or whatever. I always thought those, you know, hey, help you fight the radiation and whatever. They tell you, see, iodine's just for your goiter, what's
thyroid?
The thyroid.
Yeah.
That's all it does. The rest of your body gets irradiated, but your thyroid, that's good to go.
Don't you want your thyroids?
I do, but what about the rest of me? I need a pill for my legs and my heart and liver and whatever.
It starts at the thyroid.
It's going to be melted on the ground. But your thyroid is going to be,
exactly,
be great. You're good to go. So again, that's more of the, hey, I got the tablets. We're good. All of our thyroids.
I'm under
solid.
The desk when you bring me the tablets.
You look at the Smiths across the street. Yeah. No thyroids left.
Exactly.
The Thompsons, we got thyroids before we die. It's the illusion of security or theater
days.
Or safety. That's
I
what we want.
I miss those days.
Those were good. Soviets bad, America right. good. Have a good night. Right?
Yeah, like 2017.
Yeah.
It's great.
Wow, I don't even understand
it. Kathy Griffin.
All right. Quick break. Get Doc Thompson in the Morning Blaze filling in for Glenn Beck and the Glenn Beck Program.
We have one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
They're talking about some of the problems going on in places of the world, including North Korea, and there's not an easy solution to this. It's difficult. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to figure out what to do, and we're going to be forced to take some sort of action. I have my own dilemma. My grandmother-in-law, my wife's grandmother, has been visiting us for the last 6 months or so, and she's got her return trip plan to South Korea, where she lives.
Oh, wow.
And it's been scheduled, you know, since she got here to return this upcoming weekend.
Wow.
So
I don't know. Well, that's a tough one.
What do I do? I mean, it's her home is right near the DMZ. It's not near Seoul. It's further east. But
isn't there like a special visa when it comes to this kind of stuff?
Yeah, for people that think. But I mean, could she claim, first of all, that she's worried about that stuff? By the way, she's in her 80s, and they haven't even fully told her all of this stuff that's going on.
So she doesn't know what
she
be going
She knows it's
too.
Bad. She talks to some people back home, but, you know, you get up there in age, people, you know, try not to have you worry so they don't share as much stuff. But she's scheduled to go back this weekend, so I'm like, okay.
What does your wife think about this?
She doesn't know what to think about it. I mean, my wife and her mom and the rest of the relatives, they're all freaked out. I mean, everybody. This has been going on since the Korean War. I mean, they're used to living with this threat. But as we talked about yesterday, this nutcase, Kim Jong-un, has taken what his grandfather and father did and just amped it up. They each had tests of 16 and 15 missiles their entire reign. And already in his 6 years, he's had 70-some. I mean, this guy is just going crazy, just pushing the buttons. He's nuts and his back's against the wall. So they all know things are a little bit different now. It's just a matter of how different. So they're like, okay, we got to do something. But I'm like, okay, I got to send her back. What if I send her back and then next week something goes down?
Isn't there a buildup? I heard Buttrell talking about this yesterday. I think there's a buildup of naval ships headed that way?
Yeah, we had one in the area. I think it was the Carl Vinson was there. And then the Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier fleet was supposedly heading there. It was already doing war games, I think, east of Japan. So then it headed over into, was that the Sea of Japan, between Japan and Korea, where it headed over there to join up with the Carl Vinson. And then I think I saw a blurb about a third.
There's a third one. Yeah, there's a third one on its way.
Okay, so
on its way, yeah.
I mean, trust me, to take out North Korea, you need one. I mean, seriously, but maybe they think there's more stuff coming down, or maybe they have more tech capability.
Well, you said that he has like 70, but I think the key part in this North Korea thing is the last three that he has done, it's been the last three weekends, and they've been successful.
Right.
And the last one landed at the Sea of Japan, I think that's how you say it. So, like, he's getting more bold and boldier with the what's next weekend. I mean, what's this weekend's going to show up? Like, is he going to hit Japan?
And why does he only do this stuff on a weekend?
So I have this. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Doesn't he know how the media cycle works in America? Maybe contact him and tell him he's doing it wrong.
Yeah.
This is, so I'm like, okay, my grandmother-in-law is a wonderful lady. Amazing history of being part of the, occupied by the Japanese and the struggles her family went through. It's incredible. She's a very nice lady, and I can only imagine sending her back and having something go wrong.
So was her visa up? I mean, can she?
Yeah, because she got a 6-month visa. So
I think it's ironic that you're worried about following the law.
I know, isn't that
when
nobody
millions
else does.
Of others don't give a crap.
Well, and the other thing is too. I mean, aside from not wanting to see anybody in a situation like that, and it's my wife's family, she's the only one that likes me.
That's understandable.
My wife, my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
My grandmother, she's the only one of the three that actually likes me.
How about Cubby? Cubby don't like you?
Well, Cubby does. The kid does.
I mean, he's not old enough to know yet.
Yeah, but he doesn't know. But of those three, I mean, I'm the only one. I get home, she's like, hey, thanks for working so hard. Eat something. My wife's like, come on, get back to work. Mother-in-law's like, what have you done for me recently? Sad. The only one who cares for me. Sending her back.
Yeah. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson. I just tweeted out a picture of my grandmother-in-law and son Cubby. They were just at a wedding over the weekend, so I figured people were asking about it. So
you know what you've done, though, is now you've made it easier for the immigration police
to find her.
To find her.
ICE now has a picture of her. That's a really good point.
By the way, one thing, Cubby, your son, sharp dresser.
Mm-hmm. He is.
That's he always has, like, I look up his Instagram and be like, okay, I'm buying that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wife gets it done.
She's a really good.
Yeah, she takes care of that. I mean, you can see how I dress.
It's really sharp.
Yeah, it doesn't get done so much for me, but
Yeah,
she cares a little bit. My wife's on TV regular, so, you know, she has to be concerned about such things. And she's just a better person than I am. So that's...
Plus, you don't care what you look like.
Right, that's exactly it. So it's at Doc Thompson Show on Twitter if you want to take a look, because people were interested in. But yeah, Grandma, 86?
By the way, amazing.
Does not look 86 at all.
No.
No, I mean, she's 86. Amazing, yeah. I think she looks younger than me. She really does.
That like, says a lot.
Wow, that's really not good. Maybe that's the reason she's nice to me. She just feels sorry. She's like, look at this guy. He looks worse than me.
It's
really, really bad there. We mentioned yesterday that John Kasich is an embarrassment.
Why? He knows the 2 Chainz, little kid.
He's little an embarrassment to Ohio, to America, to the human race.
Kanye West.
To the Milky
West.
Way.
Mr.
To
West.
The,
Mr.
He's
West.
Just an embarrassment across the board. But Ohio may have... a viable candidate for governor.
So they have a plan?
Well, some people do. They're pushing a celebrity from Ohio to run for governor.
Who do I know from there?
You don't know anybody from Ohio.
Okay.
There's a lot of celebrities from Ohio over the years, but they've got one in particular. Anybody? A talk show host.
Oh. Let's see.
Glenn is not from
Ohio. Jerry Springer.
Oh. What?
So I was going to say throwing chairs.
Jerry Springer.
That one?
Jerry Springer, yeah.
He has a podcast now.
Chris is processing this. He's looking. He's going.
Leaf.
He's going. What? Wait. Whoa. What? Whatever. Is it a political podcast?
I think he just talks about regular stuff. I've heard the commercials for it. It's just a bunch of guys sitting around on the front porch and singing songs and talking stuff.
Okay. Singing songs and
talking stuff.
Okay. Well, there
so he
you
went
go.
From Jerry, mm-hmm. to sitting on
the
porch.
He still does that show too, doesn't he?
I don't
is
think
that
so.
Still on?
I don't think so. I think I reruns.
That was still, that. Oh, maybe it's in reruns or whatever. This is the people that are not in the know. Jerry Springer was a politician before he was a talk show host. Yeah. He was the mayor of Cincinnati and ran for governor of Ohio in 1982.
How did he do?
He lost.
Oh, okay.
But he tried to run again in the early 2000s, 2004, something like that, somewhere around there. And at the time, It was crazy that, okay, Jerry, you've branded yourself not just a talk show host and a sensational people who just fight and get naked, the dredges of society on that show.
Wait a minute, it is still on. Yeah, because on today it's the Redneck Rumble.
Yeah. So he.
Sorry, I'm getting into the Redneck Rumble over here.
He branded this, and yet you thought you were going to be able to twist this brand, right? Well, it's still on. He's still the same brand, but we've changed already, haven't we? 10 years later? Do you think it's more crazy, less crazy, same crazy for him to want to run now versus when he tried to run 10 years ago?
Less crazy.
I think it's less crazy.
Yeah. I think he's got a good shot at winning.
Right, because automatically, outsiders going to do better. Trump set the stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget, and it's not bagging on Trump. I'm not saying he's Jerry Springer. He's, you know, much more accomplished. Obviously, the guy has done better in the world. I think he's probably a better human being. Jerry Springer's a pretty big dirtbag. He really is. And I don't mean because of the Jerry Springer show.
I say that with all due respect.
He's a pretty big dirtbag. Yeah. And I'll have, well, come on, Jerry. You want to come on and talk about it? I'll talk about it with you. That's fine. You can come on my show as well. I don't care. Your philosophies are failed, and your show is an abomination.
It's
it really is. I mean, that's how he spun it 10 years ago. He's like, I know it's crazy, but I also have serious opinions. It's just what I've done to make money or whatever. Fine, liberal progressive guy. You've used it to make all that money exploiting some of the people. See, I'm not offended by the show. Okay, some of that's, I mean, the show's shameless. You watch that on
yes, I do.
On Netflix. Yeah. I've started watching it too. It's crazy, Jerry Springer type like family, right?
That's, and it's entertaining.
And it's entertaining. I get it. It's that he's the one who would chastise people to exploit. Yeah, we've got to help. How are you helping them on your show? Come on. You're exploiting them so you could get rich. So don't give me that. It's you're full of it. So 10 years ago, he says, you know, that's separate. It's a show and wanted to make a run. Now people are saying, hey, you should run. There's been suggestions that maybe he's thinking about it. We don't know for sure. He's 73 now.
Wow. He's a youngster.
worth gobs of money. How old's Trump?
What?
70.
70. Why are you guys looking at me?
No, he's
like 70. Isn't he? Because didn't he just turn 70?
I know. Yeah. Hillary was just turning. I know they're both around. Yeah, there. Maybe it was just 70.
I think he's 70.
He's in his 70s.
He was the oldest president.
That's right. Was elected. Because Reagan re-election was 69, I think. Something like that. So anyways, so Jerry Springer running.
That's really interesting. And I think
he's 70 years old.
He does have a chance, especially today.
I think he's got a great chance. He's got name recognition.
He does. But I don't think he has name recognition with me. Because I remember him.
Good thing you're not voting in Ohio.
Oh my gosh, you know what? You're right. You're a whole generation that don't really know who Jerry is.
Jerry Springer is.
Not the popularity that it was 10 years ago.
Exactly, because I remember Jerry Springer. My mom would watch him, and I knew it was the show that I came home to, and it was my mom watching the Jerry Springer show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This is with the little midgets running around, and the crowd gets...
I believe they prefer the term little people.
Have you seen how they've dumbed it down now?
The what?
The show, how it's been dumbed down.
No, I haven't.
These shows started out years...
How's that possible?
Yeah. So you remember years ago, you wouldn't, but Brad would. Years ago, we had some of the daytime shows like Phil Donahue and whatever, mm-hmm. and these started off as thoughtful daytime, let's discuss things. And then they realized, well, we had a discussion about taxes and certain things and whatever, and it did well. But the one where we talked about female sexuality mm-hmm. and cheating on your husband did a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, gossip.
Right. And then it went more and more sensational until we got to the Jerry Springer. And it used to be like, okay, Chris Cruz, you've been cheating on your spouse and blah, blah. And you interview you. And then the spouse comes out. You got something to tell her. I've been cheating on you. And then let's bring out the girlfriend. And you discuss for a minute. And then eventually it would erupt into a fight.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Eventually, when you get your wife and your girlfriend in the same room, it doesn't end well.
That happens. Often it ends poorly.
Yeah.
So, and that's from experience.
Yeah,
that's
not I've heard that. Yeah.
Now, they don't even bring out the chairs. They have one person on one side of the stage. You're like, but cheating on her, right? That's right. Let's bring her out. He's not cheating on you. Ding, ding. And within seconds, they're fighting. Uh-huh. And then Maury Povich is all just, he's not the father. He is the father. Every show.
I remember that one.
Dumbed it down like this, right? This is what it's
become. You always
become.
Know what you're going to get.
But this is the guy who's saying he can separate it. Again, the progressive, we need to help people. Mm-hmm. Where are you giving your money to these people, Jerry? And how come you've exploited them, happy to make yourself rich?
Maybe he's paying the guests on the show and giving them therapy after.
Yeah. Okay.
Like yeah. Dr. Phil. Is he being a Dr. Phil after Jerry Springer?
You never know.
Jerry Springer, when mayor of Cincinnati, I think it was while mayor, but just before he ran for governor in 82, got busted in a little scandal.
Of course.
Take a stab at what the scandal was.
Prostitution?
Prostitution.
Mm. He was a prostitute.
Do you know how he got busted?
Did he solicit a cop?
He paid her with a check.
Oh.
I am not kidding. The crew's looking at me here. We're out there. You think I'm joking. He paid her with a check.
Well, it is the 80s. Mm-hmm. Check right. was a big thing back then.
Right.
Did he went like this? Hold on, sweetheart.
Let me tear that out. The cat check that says, hang in there, baby. I got the new clown ones coming. In the memo, hooker. Hooker. Around the world, everything I like, right?
He put, this is going for your college fund.
College fund for hookers. You know, you'll take you need my phone number in the upper corner. Just my call City Hall. The number is.
Here's my driver's license number.
Number, put that on there as well. Forget for a moment you are of such low moral character that you're picking up a hooker. Mm-hmm. And that you are so stupid to do this while Hookers you're in office or want a political career. Forget all that for a moment. But this is a guy who was a chief executive for a town and wanted to be the chief executive for a state, an entire state, who is so stupid that he doesn't know about paper trails.
Wait, what? That leaves trails?
Yes, exactly.
Are you sure?
That's exactly right. Hmm. I'm like, seriously? In fact, he had a commercial as part of his campaign in 82 that was like, and I'll tweet out a link to it too. I think you can find it at theblaze.com, but I'll tweet it out. That's like, hi, I'm Jerry Springer. I'd like to be your governor. And, you know, as mayor of Cincinnati, and a few years ago, I did something stupid. I spent some time with a woman and I paid her with a check. I spent some time. That makes it sound visiting. Like a woman was they over decorating your house and you paid her with a check. Who cares? Okay, the interior decorated to a check.
Yeah.
You had somebody cooking in your house.
A chef,
and you paid her with a check. What does that matter?
Made a nice
no,
meal.
You had sex with her for money and you paid her with a check. Mm-hmm. Which, again, that's fine if you want to do that, but it's breaking the law in the state that you want to be governor of the chief law enforcement officer.
We all pay for it.
I did not know hookers accepted checks.
Yeah, okay, who's the hooker? Sure, Jerry, I'll take a check.
That's what I'm saying. I thought it was a cash business only.
I guess you're good for it. You're the mayor, what and all.
So do you give them from the mayor's checkbook or from Jerry Springer checkbook?
That's a good, what does it say, City of Cincinnati on
that
it?
That has a city logo? Well,
that's wrong. That's right. City funds. You can't do that.
Can't commingle that when you're commingling.
Is he trying to give her the tax money back? You know, this is your tax this break right, from, exactly. from the city. Don't worry, sweetheart.
No, you know what you put in the memo? Polling the electorate. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson. If you want to find out more about me, go to theblaze.com/doc. I'll be with you tomorrow and Friday as well, filling in for Glenn. During the break, I realized exactly how out of touch I am again.
What happened?
Brad Staggs was going down the Jerry Springer webpage.
Oh, yeah.
Website about what's coming up with the big shows.
Yeah. Okay.
And I do not know what they're talking about.
What is the headline?
I just hope it's nothing offensive.
Well, one of the big questions crawling across the Jerry Springer site is, do you have a ratchet person interfering with your relationship?
I do.
And want to confront him on the show?
I have a
ratchet?
Ratchet.
Yeah, you know what ratchet means?
Ratchet.
No, that's why I'm telling you, I'm completely out of touch. I know a ratchet, like you're fixing your car. You know,
it's a wrench.
Whatever, right.
That's why I brought the only person that I think knows what ratchet means, and that's my friend Sway.
Okay, Sway is part of the crew here for our radio broadcast. And so, Sway, welcome, first of all. What is ratchet?
It's another way of saying like low class, trashy. That's pretty much
what low it means. Class and trashy.
Yeah.
In what communities?
In the black community.
Is it primarily black community, younger, both?
Our generation. That's where I mainly
millennials. Yes. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
So Chris says, let's get Sway in here.
Because she'll know.
Really?
I'm just saying that.
Really? You're going to point out the obvious?
I was just saying. Okay, good. So what is ratchet from?
Well, it's from really from Louisiana. It's like a variation of the word wretched. So it's like,
wretched.
Words,
like so. You wretched man.
So here's, here's an idea. Maybe just say they're wretched.
Wretched.
I don't.
That's too simple.
It's taken away from what we're used to. We're used to the ratchet.
If you said wretched. It's wretch, that would sound.
So is it basically females?
Yeah, it really is used in the terminology for a female.
Okay, you're saying, look at, and how, so you'd say, look at her. She's wretched. She's ratchet.
Okay, let's say we're out at a club or something, right. And like she's talking wearing trash. Something, talking trash, or she's just looking really off. Oh, she's ratchet. She looks really
like ratchet. She's like a hot mess. Like a hot mess ratchet.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna factor that in, so I'm down.
She looks a hot
so
mess.
I can't call him ratchet.
No, you can't.
Well, no, because I don't look
you
that
just
way.
Sound like an idiot when you do it.
That's right. It's right. It first of all, I'm male, and number two, I right. don't look.
Well, they do use you know. It towards males, but it's very, very rare. It's usually towards a female.
Okay. All right. So, see, you wouldn't use and that. Even I know that, Chris. Wow. So, what else really? Coming up on the Spring Show?
Let's see here. Does social media cause problems in your relationship?
Yes.
You know what else causes problems in the relationship? What's you.
That? Yeah. Oh, here's.
By the way, it's not the social media that's causing problems. It's you. Yeah. And the other person in the relationship.
Did you do something naughty on spring break and need to tell your significant other?
Yes, because it's spring break. Do I need to tell them?
No.
I mean, that's...
If I wanted to tell them, I'd call them.
Are these all like forms where you could like sign up for the next show?
Yeah, they're looking for guests for the
next
show.
Wow. Send me that link to the last one.
Okay, that's not good. That's going to be really, really bad.
On its way.
All right. If you would, don't forget, it's theblaze.com/doc for more on me. I'll be with you tomorrow morning on the Blaze Radio Network from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you would, please you keep using that hashtag define Covfefe. Covfefe. And we'll see. Because, by the way, that's history in the making.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
people
yeah.
are going to keep using this.
That is going to go on the books.
This will be a trivia question. People will be talking about 10 years from now, the word that Trump tweeted out or
Who
whatever.
Tweeted out? Covfefe.
Right. It'll be a huge thing. Have yourself a great day. Doc Thompson in the Morning Blaze in for Glenn Beck-C tomorrow as well.
Mercury.